Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all here worshiping together. And I am happy to have all our faithful worshipers online worshiping at the comfort of their home. My prayer is that we will open our hearts that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit that comes working within our hearts and speak to us, and that we may all hear the Word of God that we need to hear this morning. A businessman lost all his money gambling in Las Vegas and only had $3.50 left. He asked the cabbie for a ride to the airport and promised to mail the fare later. "No money, no ride," the driver said, slamming the door. A year later, the businessman returned, won big this time, and even recovered the loss from the previous year. He left the casino to find the long line of taxis, including the same rude driver at the very end. He went to the first cab. "Airport, how much?" $15. "Will you take $3.50? Get lost." He repeated this all the way down the line. Every driver yelled at him. Finally, he got to the last cab, the rude driver. "How much to the airport?" $15. "Perfect, let's go." As they drove past a line of angry cabbies, the businessman leaned out the window, grinning and giving every driver a big thumbs up. The driver asked, "You know all those guys?" "Nope," he said, "but they all know you." All the cabbies might have thought the businessman's driver was crazy for accepting such a ridiculous fare to the airport. Meanwhile, the driver was unaware of what others thought of him. Beside the businessman, all the angry cabbies and once rude driver were confused about the situation. Doesn't this reflect our own confusion about life and circumstances? Don't we have fuzzy understanding of how we have lived, where we are today, and where we are headed? We do. This morning's message from God's Word offers insight into how we should see and interpret our earthly journey, especially through the perspective of the cross. Today's scripture reading may seem like one of the most boring passages in the entire Bible because it talks about seemingly meaningless numbers and the arrangement of the camp. But numbers convey much truth and contain hidden meanings. And if we have eyes to read and understand it from a messianic perspective, which I have often mentioned, it is a fascinating place to study. So let's delve into it. About a year after leaving Egypt, God instructed Moses to conduct a census. The Israelites faced numerous difficulties in the desert with harsh living conditions, no land to cultivate crops, and insufficient water for drinking. Surrounding nations saw them as a threat and attacked. The purpose of the census was to organize the nation for survival and defense. Both chapters 1 and 2 record a total of 603,550 men aged 20 and older, which, including women, children, and youth, could have totaled over 2 million. 40 years later, just before crossing Jordan into Canaan, Moses performed a second census, again counting men 20 and over to determine land distribution in Canaan. According to Numbers 26, the number of men in Israel was 601,730, slightly less than in the first census. During the 40 years in the Sinai Desert, all who were 20 or older at the Exodus, except Joshua and Caleb, died, most likely due to natural causes, as the average lifespan at the time was about 40 years. Many would have died of natural causes, having been around 20 during the Exodus, and then, you know, they live, 40 years, so by the time they reach the border of Jordan and Canaan, they would have been 60 years, so most of them have died. But another factor was fear after spies reported Canaan's strength, leading to rebellion against God. Right after they got out of Egypt, they moved straight to the border of Jordan and Canaan and then sent spies, and then they were terrified by the resident in Canaan. God was displeased by their disbelief and declared that except for Joshua and Caleb, the rest could not enter the promised land. Still, by comparing the total population from the two censuses taken 40 years apart, we see the numbers of Israelites remain similar. See that the first census was what? It was 603,000, and then 40 years later, it was 601,000. You know what that means? Despite the loss of those over 20 years old at Egypt's exit, the numbers remain similar, which means that God, with his grace and power, had sustained millions of Israelites in the desert. The similar numbers from the two consensus speak to us the same truth. And if you look at where you are today and 40 years ago and compare them, what do we see? Despite many upheavals we've been through, we have been wonderfully sustained by God's grace. God was very specific about arranging the tribal camp, and the number of each tribe was accounted for. Again, these numbers carry a hidden message. Let's look at the general layout of the camps before moving into numbers of each camp. Each camp was paired with three tribes. See that? West, north, south, east. There are four directions, and each camp has three tribes. And altogether, 12, right? East camp consisted of Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. South camp had Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. The west belonged to Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. North consisted of Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. All four camps had 12 tribes, but they did not represent the 12 sons of Jacob. The two of Jacob's sons, Joseph and Levi, were missing from the camp. The reason was Ephraim and Manasseh, they're Joseph's sons, were counted as two tribes instead of one. And then Levites were not counted in the census because Levites were set apart to serve in the tabernacle. and they stationed right at the center beside the tabernacle. The tabernacle and the Levi station were at the very center of the four camp. So think about it. Try to picture the shape of the camp of Israel. Tabernacle and Levites in the center, and those four camps around it. What would have been the reason behind this arrangement? It's not exactly difficult to figure it out. Tabernacle at the center, the Levites at the center, imply God wanted his people to place God at the center of their lives. More specifically, the tabernacle was the place of worship, and the Levites were there to lead people to worship God. Likewise, worship to be the center of Jehovah's faith. So you apply the same principle to us. In the same way, we should keep God at the center of our lives, and worshiping God is the focal point of all our activities. Now let's examine the number of each camp. To help us understand better, I'm going to start with the west camp that belonged to the camp of Ephraim and two other tribes. The total number of people in this camp was 108,100. The north camp belonged to Dan and two other tribes, totaling 157,600. The south camp belonged to Reuben and two others, totaling 151,450. The east camp belonged to Judah and two others, totaling 186,400. You may wonder, why those numbers? These numbers may not make sense, but try an aerial view of the entire camp proportion to the numerical sizes of each camp. I mean, if you think that you are standing on mountaintop looking down at the camp of Israel, down at the foothill. The tabernacle is at the center, and the Levites right next to it. Ephraim is the shortest, and the opposite side of Ephraim camp is Judah's, which is the longest. The north and south camp extend almost the same length from the center. Do you see the shape of the entire camp of Israel? What do you see? The cross. See that Ephraim is the shortest right here. The Judas is the longest down at the bottom. And those two others equally extend from the center. It's the shape of the cross. Is this a coincidence? Think about it. God designed the tabernacle to the little tiny detail to foreshadow the coming Messiah. Through Jesus, God came down to dwell among the people for salvation. Why did God so meticulously command Moses to set up the camp of Israel in such a fashion? Apparently, God has a reason. Like every commandment of God had a reason. And the reason has to do with the pattern that reflects the cross of the Messiah Jesus every time Israel camp. And this is something that I learned while I was leading the Bible study when I was in Burbank. And I just have found out a Bible scholar named by Chuck Missler shared the same view. On average, Israelites did not have any way to see the reason for God's command regarding the arrangement of camp. However, whenever Israelite camped, God saw from above the cross of the Messiah in the camp. And I would like to apply this very truth to our life journey. Israel had camped in about 42 different locations before entering Israel. I actually counted several different times. And one thing that I found it interesting was that, you know, out of the 42 different stations, the time when God told Moses to form the camp in such a fashion, that was in the specifically in Desert Sinai. And from the Desert Sinai onto crossing the Jordan, there are about 32 stations, including Canaan, because that was their last camp, right? And 32 stations sounds to me the life of Jesus' lifespan on earth, 32 years, 33 years. Like the people of Israel, we station ourselves in many different places in life. You may have been through 40 different stations. In terms of serving parishes, I have lost the count of it, but this is like somewhere around 15 stations to serve a parish for me. We go through different stations through our journey. And each time, Jesus anoints our station with his redeeming blood and covers them with his cross, as the pattern of Israel camp resemble the cross. We may not see it, but God does shape our stations according to the shape of the cross, which means God covers our stations with his blood through Jesus. Each move and turn, God works invisibly to grace our journey. Lilia Winsett shares the following testimony. I have a cousin who is a Baptist minister. When we were growing up, we only saw each other a couple of times a year. Now we see each other even less. A few years ago, when I hadn't seen him for some time, I suddenly began thinking about him and his family. I just couldn't get them off my mind. And for some reason, I felt compelled to send him a check for $100. I thought about it for a few days and made more than one aborted trip to the post office. I finally mailed it with a letter saying, I hope I wasn't offending him, but I believe the Lord wanted me to do this. A couple of weeks later, I received a reply. My cousin said it never ceased to amaze him how God worked in his life. And now God had once again shown him through us that he would always meet our need. My cousin said the only concern that he had was that I had sent too much. All he had needed was $97.56. Leah did not know why the impulse. The pastor had no idea if his need would be met, for it was a little tiny matters for him, but God did. As the Israelites were unaware of the cross in their camp, we may not recognize every good thing God does for us. We may not recognize His presence, but God always shows up when we need Him. God has certainly graced our journey. When we look at our lives through the lens of the cross, our past, present, and future are all under the blood of Jesus. The presence of the cross of Jesus along our path speaks another important truth. In every station of life, God gives us a new cross or crosses to carry. When we arrive at a new station or situation, finding a new cross can be challenging and discouraging. Yet carrying a cross is how God has designed our journey. We constantly engage in soul-searching about our mission here on earth. Once we find the new cross Jesus gives us to carry, we give our very best to take it up. Our life journey is all about carrying crosses, small and big. And someday, when we see Jesus face to face, we will exchange our crosses for a crown. Amen.